If you will, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Pray for me as I stand before you this afternoon. The Apostle Paul is writing this inspired letter. It's the second letter that we have preserved for us that Paul was inspired to write to this church. And he's closing it out. It's the last chapter. And he says this. He says, finally. So he's wrapping it up. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So he's getting down to the end of this letter, and Paul, who had this great desire to spread the gospel, who had this great desire to see, to see people come to a knowledge of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You remember that when he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what he was talking about. He wanted them to be saved from the pitfalls of trying to establish your own righteousness. And Paul had this desire. That was in Romans 10. He had this desire that the word of God would be spread. And he says, pray for us. And so if you're wondering what you can do for the ministry, what you can do in the church, what can be something that you could be diligent at every day, something that you can contribute to the church? Paul says here, finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Pray for us. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer moves the one who can move anything. Think about that. Prayer is a direct connection with the one who created the universe, who created you, who controls anything he wants to control, right? He's sovereign. The one who can make things out of nothing. It moves him. And so Paul's saying, but he doesn't say, finally, brethren, if you could just give us 20%, I think we'd be better. Or finally, brethren, do this or that. He says, finally, brother. He's getting down to the meat of it. He says, pray for us. Pray for us. Elder Michael Goen said, the ministry of prayer is the least glamorous but most essential function of Christian discipleship. Listen to this. Though a believer may be physically or financially limited, so that his ability to participate in evangelistic activities is limited, he can and should pray for the success of the gospel. I like that. What about y'all? That's what Paul's saying. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Here's what he wants you to pray for, that the word of the Lord, that the gospel, that the message of the Bible, that the message of salvation by grace, the doctrines of grace, the message of freedom in Jesus Christ, pray that the word of the Lord may have free course. Thayer's lexicon, the word that makes up free course, it says of doctrine that it may be rapidly propagated or spread. What that means is that it's unrestrained, that it has unrestrained movement. Paul says, I want you to pray that the gospel, that the word of the Lord will not be restrained, that it'll have liberty to go where it's supposed to go. Do y'all see that? By the way, that's one of the reasons that I don't think the local church should ever charge for anything that they do. You know, that's become a fad now, that you maybe charge a membership. You sell a ticket. I've even seen Primitive Baptist churches doing it. You know, there's a fee to come to this or that. And I understand for a singing school, there's money that has to be paid, right? But the local church, the spread of the gospel, the message that is preached at Vestavia Church needs to have free course, and it shouldn't be inhibited by somebody that can pay a fee or not. Y'all agree with that? He says, pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. He says, pray that the word of the Lord may, that it may be honored, that it may be magnified, even as it is with you. I hope that they could say of Vestavia Church that the word of the Lord is being glorified here. It's being magnified. It's being honored. And then listen to verse 2. He says, and, so he's continuing, brethren, this is what I want you to pray for, and pray that we, the ministers of the gospel, may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He says, I want to be delivered away from. So he says, I want you to pray that God will direct my paths where I am not come in contact with unreasonable men. That's people you can't reason with, irrational people. Paul says, I want to be delivered from irrational people. To spread the gospel, you got to have somebody that you can reason with or talk to, right? Amen. If they're shut off and they're closed and they're not going to listen to what you have to say, Paul says, I pray to God that I'll be delivered from them. Y'all see that? Isaiah chapter 1, it says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The spread of the gospel is a thing where you reason with people. Now, he didn't say, come, let us argue about the gospel. Amen. He said, let us reason with people. And it takes two people to reason. So you need to be reasonable. And the person you're talking to needs to be reasonable. I believe it's Paul's going into Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and reasoned. Y'all remember that? That's in verse 2 of Acts 17. He says he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He didn't reason with them out of, here's what my daddy believed, or my granddaddy believed, or here's what our church believes. He opened the scriptures to them. He said, this is what the Word of God says. You can't argue with the Word of God. He says, so I want you to pray, brethren, pray. Beg God that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He says, not only do I want to be delivered from those who are unreasonable or irrational, I want to be delivered from those who are evil, who would hurt us, who are lewd people, people that haven't been touched by the grace of God. Do you see that? I want to be delivered from people who are wicked. You know, you and I, we can do things that are bad. We can do things that are wicked acts, ungodly things. But if you've been touched by the grace of God, you're no longer wicked. Did you know that? You've got something in you that is not wicked, that is righteous and holy. And Paul says, I want to be delivered away from unreasonable and wicked men. And then he says this, for all men, and what he's saying there is all manner of men, all kinds of men, not every man without exception, we know this, all men have not faith. He's saying, I want to be delivered away from people that don't have faith. Right? He didn't want to be delivered to people so he could give them faith. He wanted to be delivered to people who already have faith. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul lists the 9 fruit of the Spirit. A fruit is a byproduct. It's something that's produced because of something you have. And in verse 22 of chapter 5, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, or the byproduct, the fruit of or from the Spirit, this is what the Spirit of God in someone produces. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. The 7th one he lists is faith. Y'all see that? And he says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. See, to have faith isn't something you generate on your own. Faith is something that is a byproduct of the Spirit dwelling in you. So if you find someone that has faith, the faith didn't get them the Spirit. The Spirit gave them the faith. Do y'all see that? And so Paul is saying, all men don't have faith. And he says, I want you to pray to God that we would be delivered from unreasonable wicked men. And he says, for all men have not faith. That's a powerful prayer, isn't it? That's an interesting prayer. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Paul's closing out this book that he's written to the church at Rome. And he says, now, as he's closing this out, he's got one more chapter to go. He says, now, this is verse 30, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, brothers and sisters in the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So church, what can we be doing for the ministers and for others in the church? Maybe we can't give them money. Maybe we can't give them food. Maybe we can't give them time. Maybe we don't have the time, but we can give them prayer, right? He says, you can pray. And Paul is saying, I want you to pray for me. And listen to what he's praying for. He says, together with me in your prayers to God for me, verse 31, that I may be delivered, here we go, from, away from, them that do not believe in Judea. Let me read that again. That I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. See, the church is a place of refreshment. You know, you're supposed to work in the church, but you're also supposed to be refreshed when you leave out of this place and ready to go again. But isn't it interesting that Paul said, I want you to pray to the God who makes things happen. This is what I want you to pray, that I'd be delivered from those that don't believe. That's the kind of people that most would be wanting to get to, right? Unreasonable and wicked men and those that don't believe. So that somehow you get them to believe. But Paul knew that that's not how the gospel is rapidly propagated. He said, that's not how the gospel has free course. The way the gospel has free course is when you get to those people who already have faith in their heart. Do you see that? So you and I today, we have a ministry and we have a responsibility as members of this church that we pray for the spread of the gospel, right? That we pray that the gospel has free course. That when Brother Derek is at work or out, that he would not be delivered to unreasonable and wicked men and spend hours trying to reason with them, and they're just unreasonable and wicked. That's a waste of his time, isn't it? It is. There's a brother that y'all know that he told me, he said, I spent hours with this guy. And he said he finally, I think he was seeing it. And he said, then he called his pastor and he called me back and said, no, that's not true. 15 minutes, you know, with one pastor. And then he said, I spent hours with him. If you're going to be reasonable, if we try to spread the message of sovereign grace, the doctrines of grace, the message that we believe that the work is finished, that Christ saved his people, if you're going to be reasonable and you're going to reason out of the scripture, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that that's true. Y'all agree with that? You're going to have to if you're reasonable. So we have a ministry, a responsibility to pray for the spread of the gospel. And we should be praying not that we'd be delivered to unreasonable wicked men, but we'd be praying that God would open doors for us to spread the gospel. Not that we, to reasonable men, to good men, to men who have faith, men who already believe in Christ. You know, you can evangelize people who already believe in Christ. Wasn't it Apollos that they took and they showed him a more excellent way, right, than what he had? We can do that. There's people today that are Christian people that I still believe we can evangelize to the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do y'all believe that this morning? And they'd be a lot more nicer to deal with. I'd rather go out to eat with them than unreasonable and wicked men. What about y'all? If they're Christian, they might pay for you when you went out to eat. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Spread the gospel and get a free meal. Prayer is the most effective weapon that we have in evangelism. Prayer. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, Paul tells this church as he's closing out another letter to another church, he says, continue in prayer. This church was already praying. He says, I want you to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. What does he want us to pray for? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He's basically saying the same thing he told to his other churches, just in the positive. And he was in his others, he's saying to the negative. I don't want to be delivered to, or deliver me away from unreasonable and wicked men. Now he's saying, I want God to deliver me to people he's already prepared to hear the gospel. Do y'all see that? With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door. God in heaven is the one who opens the door for evangelism. God is the one who opens the door for evangelism. In Revelation chapter 3, Paul writes to the church at Philadelphia, or not Paul, Jesus is giving a message to John. And it says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. So what doors do you want to be walking through? I feel like probably in my life I've tried to bust down doors, and for the last few years I've been praying for open doors that God had opened. 1 Corinthians, well, let's go to, before we go there, let's go to Acts chapter 14. Paul, we read this in verse 26. He's talking about these travels and says, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come together and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Y'all see that? Who opened the door? Did Paul open the door? Did Peter open the door? Did the messenger open the door? The evangelist open the door? God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9 says, Paul says, but I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost. Why? For a great door and effectual is open unto me. Listen to this now. And there be many adversaries. But Paul said, a great door had been opened for me, and it was effectual. That's what we want, right? Open doors that are effectual. We only got a certain amount of time. We want to use it wisely. 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus with my brother. Taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. I think from these four verses that we read, we can see that it is God who opens doors. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, though. He said, a great door, an effectual, is open to me, and there be many adversaries. Many adversaries. If you're still in Acts 14, go to Acts chapter 16, and we'll get an example of what this looks like. Verse 6 says, now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after that, they came to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So here Paul's, these preachers are trying to go somewhere, and isn't it interesting that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit didn't allow them to go into these places? It says, and they passing by Mysia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. This is a description of the Lord opening a door. Verse 12 says, and we went from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. I want to make this point. As we pray for open doors in this church, as we pray that God would open opportunities for us to speak the gospel into a heart that's been prepared to receive it, that doesn't mean we're not working. Right? The idea that God's just going to drag them in and drag them down the aisle will kill a church. The idea that you've got to open your own doors will kill a minister. It's a balance of the two. God opens the doors, but we step through. We need to be willing. Look at Paul. That's what he did. He went to the Sabbath day down to the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. In verse 14, here's an example of an open door. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us." And then I love these words, "whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." If you kept reading, there's going to be a demon-possessed girl that Paul's going to have the opportunity to convert. Then this is an open door now. Then Paul's going to get thrown into prison. God provided an open door. Paul winds up in prison. But the gospel is having free course. Paul winds up in prison. Paul winds up converting the jailer and his family to the truth of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? Paul was given an open door, but it wasn't fun for Paul. And it may not be fun for us. But God may be opening doors that we don't know are open doors. Brother Vernon Johnson, who's the minister of Denton Primitive Baptist Church, prayed for open doors for many years, and he wound up in Kisii, Kenya. I've been very specific in my prayers. But if God opens a door, we better be willing to walk through it, right? Amen. I've been praying for many years now, several years now, that God would open doors for us here at Vestavia. You know what? I believe He's going to do it. Some of y'all are nodding, yes. You know, we got to pray in faith, right? Not wavering. We pray that God will open doors. And I was thinking about that this week. If we're going to pray for open doors, we need to be ready when God delivers, right? That means giving it your best each and every Sunday here at this church. And you know how you give it your best on Sunday? You give it your best on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I need to do a better job myself of preparing myself for worship. Probably not a good idea to have Chris Wallace and Fox News Sunday on before you come to church. That's not preparing your heart for worship. I wrote down a few things. If we're going to ask for open doors. Y'all don't need to hear this. Six things that I thought of. If you're going to do your best. And folks, we're doing it. God's going to deliver it. So we need to be ready. And the first thing I thought is just show up to church. Now, I probably should have preached this morning because y'all are here and it's 2:18. But you know what? You can show up on time, right? How does it look to the visitor when they show up at 10:30, because that's what the sign says, and there's 15 people here, and the rest of them come in at 10:45? We went to the beach a couple of weeks ago, and I said, "Why don't we go to this place? We never go there." And somebody responded, "Well, it's always so crowded." And I thought, that's a good reason to go to a place to eat. People are excited to be there. Right? Think about that with church. Y'all know I love you, right? And I mean, I think I've proven that over the last 4 years, that I love you. Show up on time. And sing. I thought about that singing. The song service is not an optional part of the church service. It is worship. Sing out. Give it all you have. Remember, we're not competing with anybody. Just sing to the Lord, right? Sing the best you can. Don't skip it. Be friendly to people, welcoming to people when they come into the church. If they got your pew, give them your pew. This happened to me not too long ago. I was at a church, and a brother walked in, and he was looking at me, and I was looking at him like, what can I do for you? He said, you're in my seat. Carrie can tell you she was there. I said, well, I can move, brother. Now, I'm a good old Baptist. Now, that's not going to run me off. But as we're praying for open doors and people that have never heard of the Primitive Baptist Church, never heard of our culture, that ain't a good thing, right? Lord willing, I'm going to be an old Baptist till I die. I'm going to have an old Baptist preacher stand over my casket and preach an old Baptist message. And I've said before, I hope they have to repitch a song at my funeral, because that'd just be a good old Baptist funeral. But sheep are skittish, right? And we're talking about open doors to people who have never heard of this church. So be friendly, be welcoming. Be chill. Now, don't be like the guy that hadn't had a date in 15 years and we all just surround them, but love them. Invite them to sit with you. I've thought about before having a sign and just stand out there with Brother Mark that says, you can sit with me. I love Brother Mark, that you've welcomed people to our church. I say this, the fourth thing I wrote down is promote the local church. That ought to be what you're promoting, right? Associations are fine. Singing schools are fine. Other things are fine. But the thing that you ought to be the most excited about, and the priority in your life, ought to be the local church, because that's what God established. These other things are secondary. We should promote the local church. You know, I love you. Every once in a while, we're to think about the way we do things and evaluate, why are we doing them? Traditions are good, but you got to ask, why are we doing them? And look at it objectively. And the last thing I'll say is, be excited to be in church. Be excited. That goes back to being here on time. You know what tells me if you're not on time? You may be very excited. It doesn't look like you're excited. And perception is reality, right? Is this too hard for y'all? Perception is reality. Be excited. You say, I'm not excited, Brother Josh. I've been there. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now notice this. It does not say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's almost like where your treasure is, your heart follows. And this isn't a sales pitch to try to give us more money to the church, although you do need to give money to the church. We don't have money fairies that just give money and keep it going. That's part of worship, is to donate to the cause of the church. You don't want to be a freeloader in the church. But here's a newsflash for you. Time is your greatest treasure. There's people with billions of dollars, millions and billions of dollars, that would give it all again to have more time. More time with their family. More time with those that... There was, in Forbes magazine, not too long ago, there was a CEO that was interviewed, and they said, you know, what would you, if you could do something different, what would you do? And he said, I would spend more time with the people I love. He's got millions of dollars. I think he had 5 kids. And he has a relationship with none of them. What do you think is worth more to him now, that money or that time? James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is your life from conception to death? What is your life? Biblically speaking, it says it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The greatest treasure that we have is our time. And I would say this to you, young people, old people, middle-aged people, invest your time in the church. Amen? Amen. Invest your time in the church. That doesn't mean you have to be up here, but you can be praying for open doors in your cubicle, on your ride to work. When you are reading your Bible, that is an investment of your time for the church, that you'll be ready to give an answer to those that ask you. You got to have an answer, right? Pray for the church. Ask what you can do for the church. Volunteer your time for the church. In the business I work in, when we do costs of groups that have insurance, it's usually 20% of the people take up 80% of the cost. Probably in the church a lot of time, it's 20 or 10% of the people that do 80 or 90% of the stuff. Can you imagine what kind of church it would be? And I don't know what the statistics here are at Vestavia, but if 90% of the people gave 50% of their time, or 20% of their time, or 10% of their time to the church, it would be amazing what we could be, would it not? It would be amazing. So think on those things. Think how you can benefit the church, and know this, that you're appreciated when you do it. This is God's house. Should it not be the most important thing in our lives? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and we pray for open doors in this community, that our friends, that our families and our loved ones, that we would be blessed not on our own, but through your providence, to be led to those whose hearts you have opened, like Lydia, and the banks of that river, and that you would bless us with open doors, and that we would be willing and obedient to walk through. We pray, God, that you would help us to be better church members. You would help us to be better disciples. And that we wouldn't have to tell people, I'm a Christian, that people would look at us like those in the book of Acts. They would say the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That people looked at them and knew something was different. That people will look at us and know something is different. We pray, God, that you'll bless everyone here with a safe drive home, that we may gather together again next Sunday to praise your name. Until then, keep us safe. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. How about we'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace. If there's anybody here that would like to join this church by way of baptism or any other means for that matter, you can come down at this time. We'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace. We can